I will just start out by saying hello to everybody. Welcome once again to the final monthly membership call for 2016. I'm glad to see some returnees. Hillary, thank you. That's really great. So anyone else who has joined us that is joining for the first time, thank you. And let me just ask right off the bat that you mute your phone unless you're speaking. And try not to be on a speakerphone. That helps. Thank you. Okay, so as we close up this year and we're going to take a welcome break to celebrate the holidays, we also bring in a new year, new political landscape, new work to do. So our work is always changing and continuing. So for this month's call, we wanted to focus on one of the most important and central points of communication used by our members, our donors, and the public who may be new to us when they see the website. So that is our website, www.amnestyusa.org. I'm sure most of you have visited or used it at some point in the past year, maybe to take actions, to find out news, find updates, information, or maybe just to make a donation. So our site has served us for years, but like many things, it's time for an upgrade. So our digital team has been really hard at work seeking to improve all the aspects of our website. So we're going to look at that tonight, and we do want feedback. Even though this is a small call tonight, we do want all of you to provide feedback, so thanks for joining. So as always, these calls are intended to be an open space to share knowledge and information between members, member leaders, and other members and member leaders across the country. So again, we always welcome your participation. My name is Edwin Gore. I'm membership coordinator at Amnesty International. I've been involved in AI work for many, many years and on staff for a long time, too, and started out in local group 9 in Manhattan. So let me introduce you to our speakers for this evening. They have all been dedicated to upgrading the website as members of the website advisory committee. And they are Daniel Schutzmith, who's senior web developer, digital technology manager at AIUSA, Anita Tika, who's state legislative coordinator for New York and part of the website advisory committee, and I don't think Caleb has joined us. He may join us.
Hi. Yeah, so sorry about that. I'm running a little bit late, but I am here now.
Oh, good. Welcome, Caleb. So Caleb is a trainer for the Member Empowerment Training Program, and he's also on the website advisory committee. So before I begin, I just have two requests that I tell everybody, ground rules for everyone calling in. Now, when you speak, please state your name, where you're calling from, and any role you might play in Amnesty. And the second one is so everyone can hear clearly. Please, again, remember to mute your phone when you're not speaking and don't use a speakerphone. And when you do speak, remember to speak directly into the phone. People forget that sometimes. So now you know my ground rules. Let's get started. So, Dan, can you introduce yourself and kick us off?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm Daniel Schutzmith, the digital technology manager, as Ed stated. And I just want to say also, too, I'm very excited that Hillary's on the phone, so that's pretty awesome. I've been on staff for 6 months now. I work specifically under Eric Ferrero with the digital team. And one of my strong suits has been, in the past, doing website redesigns. And so I think that was one of the qualities, basically, that the AIUSA staff kind of really liked about me and brought me on board. The website redesign is specifically the project that I'm spearheading right now. The last time it was redesigned was about 6 years ago. And, you know, like I said, I mean, it's overdue for an overhaul, and I'm sure you've all kind of dealt with the different pain points of trying to search or trying to do other things on the website that just didn't work. Ed, should I just go through the background and stuff like that right now?
Yeah, I think that's great.
All right, cool. So, you know, the biggest things that we've heard from folks so far, and we'll talk about feedback in just a little bit, Caleb will actually share a little bit, is that people are basically telling us three main things. One is that they can't find what they need. Literally, you know, the search is broken on the website. They can't find the actual information they're looking for, usually at the most optimal times, right? So, you know, you're going to the website, you need a very important article, or you need to get to a specific report. You go to the search box, and it just absolutely does not work, and it does not give you the information back that you need. And so, you know, revamping that is really important. Another key thing that we keep hearing over and over again is that folks are not sure how to get involved. So coming to the website, they get kind of confused on exactly what we want them to do. Do we want them to donate? Do we want them to actually come to a group meeting? Do we want them to, you know, sign a petition? Folks aren't sure what that kind of ladder of engagement should be and how they really can get involved in the first place with Amnesty. And then, you know, the larger one is that the navigation is confusing. And specifically, especially when we get to the kind of the mobile environment in the past, it wasn't even responsive. So you couldn't even really see the website when you were looking at your phone. It would look really tiny and things like that. You may have noticed that just in the past month and a half here, if you looked at the website on your phone, it actually looks a little bit different now. And that's because we've just put basically a little temporary Band-Aid on it to make it what's called responsive, made it so that basically it looks okay on phones. It's not terrific. It's not where we want it to be, but it's enough for right now basically to tide us over until March. And then sitting on top of all this really is kind of an archaic CMS, a content management system. So I'm sure some of you have either, you know, experienced where you went to the website and you realized there's out-of-date content, or there's something where you've heard, you know, someone wanted to be able to update that, but they don't have the permissions to do that. This all stems literally from kind of just you know, staff that used to be in my department that actually kind of put the stronghold on folks to be able to do some of that stuff, but also stems from the content management system that we're using. It's actually way out of date. It has you know, basic security issues that we've been trying to patch as quickly as possible. But the reality is that it has to be upgraded. It has to be moved to something that's more forward-thinking and something that's going to make sense in the long run. For that, we'll be moving to the WordPress content management system. Some of you might have heard of that before. It might sound familiar to you. Typically, folks usually think of WordPress as a blogging platform, but it's much more. It actually allows websites to change all kinds of content, be able to handle their media, even allows us to do things like create different types of authoring relationships so people can update content based on different permissions. So kind of exactly what folks like member leaders kind of wanted in the first place can actually happen now with the new CMS that we moved to. The new website is also going to be focusing on a mobile-forward approach, so making sure that the experience looks great on all the devices. So we're talking about tablets, we're talking about mobile phones, and really making it so that experience doesn't degrade, doesn't become a nuisance when you go from one device to another. Traditionally, you know, the AIUSA website has really looked great on a desktop or on a laptop. But once you went to your phone, you may have noticed you had to, like, zoom in to be able to get the specific content. Or you may have tried to copy something to share it with a friend while you're on a tablet and realized that it was really a pain. All those things are exactly what we're getting rid of, exactly what we're fixing completely and outright. So no Band-Aid fixes there. It's a complete overhaul to make sure that these things work correctly so that you can use it the way you want to. You may have noticed also that, you know, when we actually put in the new responsive website, we were actually making it a little bit easier for a few things. We made the navigation a little bit easier right now. So if you look at the current website on your mobile phone, you may see there's a little drop down basically for the navigation to work. Those things again are just kind of like temporary Band-Aids, but it's that vein basically of where we're taking it. The navigation will be much more streamlined for the new website, but it's in that kind of ease of use so that you can be able to go to it or anyone else and be able to get to the information you want to no matter what device you're on. Some key things to realize. So, you know, Hillary actually asked a real great question about the Website Advisory Committee. So that was formed in October, and the participants are actually skewed heavily towards members and member leaders on purpose. So there's actually only two staff on that at all. We have three ACs, we have one SAC, and we have two LCs, and also two board members that are on that. And the Website Advisory Committee is really put together basically to give feedback in the entire process from beginning to finish. So they're looking at things like the sitemaps. They're looking at what we call personas, which is basically we're talking about what these different types of users might be that would go to the website. They'll be looking at the wireframes. They'll be looking at the design. And they're really tasked to kind of represent the different groups that they associate with. They're providing feedback based on that. They're really giving us that insight that basically keeps it from being a kind of staff-imposed redesign. That's not what we want. We want this to be something that members engage with, members get excited about, and feel empowered, frankly. I mean, that's really what this website should be. This isn't necessarily for staff. This is for members and prospective members to really get involved and get excited. And then just a little bit about the committee. The committee meets about once a month to discuss the progress of the website, and is really just providing that feedback all along the way. That's my spiel here for the history and the committee so far. Do you want to take questions now, Ed, or you want to go on to the next part?
Sure, we can always take a break for questions if anybody has any. Hillary, Terry? Okay.
I don't have any questions right now. I'm interested in how the authorship will be, the new WordPress site will be organized.
Sure.
Because I run a couple of WordPress sites myself, and so I know a little bit about how you can designate people to be editors and authors and have their own particular sections that they are responsible for. So I'm interested to see how that's going to work out.
Yeah, this is Terry in Oregon, and I don't know what the other people are going to talk about, but I'm part of the ARC support team and have been from the beginning, and I'm just interested in, I know you've been talking to Eve, but I'm just interested about the resources content for the website and what, you know, go up there because it's, I don't know if we were here. It would just seem like they somehow really just recently discovered the ARC. You know, when we were interviewed recently. So I'd like you to address that
at some point. Yeah, for sure. Let me go over those both real quickly right here. So for WordPress, we'll be using a plugin actually that goes on top of it. It's one of the best that's out there. It's called Members. It's been around for quite a while, and it's plugin maker is actually pretty well known. It's Justin Tadlock, who's in the WordPress community. So that actually gives us the ability to change the roles of different users that are on the site and what they're able to update. So based on that, what we'll be doing is we'll be having a real kind of breakdown of member leaders that can be able to edit specific pages, staff that can be able to edit specific pages, and then from there figuring out if anyone else needs to have access to other parts of the site to be able to update it. The biggest portion to that, and the thing I want you to really realize is that, you know, we're not here to hinder you, you know, providing content for the website. We're not here to be big brother or anything like that and say, no, you can't give us that information or you can't update that page. Really what we're trying to do is identify and empower key individuals that will be able to help supply content for the website. Folks, and the biggest example for me is country specialists. So, you know, if they're updating a specific thing that's about a country, we give them that accessibility. We give them that ability to go in there and be able to update their information at will, not to go through a staff member to update that. It's more that they're going in, they're updating their content, and then they're just letting us know that, hey, I updated this content. You know, you should kind of check it out. There are other specific pieces in place for plugins that we'll be using. So essentially when someone updates the any part of the website that's not in the web unit, meaning not that's not a web developer basically, we get an email about that, my web team, and then we actually see that and just approve it before it goes live. And that's just for security reasons more than anything else. But the reality is that we're really trying to give back to everyone. That's kind of what's been taken away. So to use plugins and to use kind of procedures that are going to empower folks, especially member leaders, to be able to put in content that they want. One interesting thing I wanted to point out, too, is that we're also throwing around the idea of actually having bios of member leaders on the website. There's actually an Our People section that we're considering putting on the website that that shows and highlights all the different member leaders we have across the entire organization. You know, not pinpointing specific individuals, but actually highlighting all the experts that we have that engage with us. And that's an important thing, and that's something we really feel strongly about, that, you know, this website should not be something that's just glorifying staff. This should be something that's actually empowering the membership to want to go out there and create real change in what's going on in our country, especially. So that's that part. As far as what was the other question? I totally missed it now.
It was about the ARC, I think.
Yes, the ARC. That's right, the ARC. Yeah. So, Terry, I'm actually going to bring you into a conversation about the ARC. So we've been working with HyperACT, and that's who you may have heard from, Eve, and I think they brought you in on a stakeholder interview as well. And the reality is, so what we're going to be doing for that is actually having a larger conversation about the ARC, because I think everyone was kind of amazed at how much more basically it is supplying rather than just being a resource. There are other pieces to it that folks just didn't realize. And so we definitely need to have a larger conversation on that, and that's exactly what's going to happen. So you'll be a part of that, Terry, and you'll be getting an invitation on that probably in the next week here.
Yeah. Sorry about not replying. I dropped my glove. Couldn't get unmute.
Oh, no, no
and
worries.
I lost. Not bad. Yeah. Because I know that what I'm basically, I heard a couple years ago that the ARC, the concept of the ARC, the goals and objectives, would be incorporated into the website. So a few weeks ago, we said to Eric, what about the ARC? And it's like all of a sudden he woke up, we're being interviewed, asked about it, like you guys discovered it. It was like, oh, I'm not you, but somebody did. And so my question is, as we continue this, is the content going to be absorbed into the website? Is it going to be a standalone module for
sure? Oh, yeah, sure.
Or is it going to be like, not important, we're going to take care of, you know, that type of thing.
Okay.
So, tonight. That's basically what, because it's Hillary was involved with you, so usually we've got a whole group of country specialists together. So it's not just, unfortunately, we haven't had the resources or it hasn't been a priority, so it isn't our future. But the concept is important, it still remains the same.
Okay. Yep. And I hear what you're saying. So the two things to point out there. So we don't know what the future is of the ARC so far. I mean, our initial gut reaction was, yeah, a lot of those things probably could be rolled into the main website. But, you know, upon further inspection and really, it was really after the conversations that HyperACT had, our design firm, with folks like you and Eve, that we realized, oh, there is a lot more that's going on there. And also with Adam as well. So that's the natural progression that was supposed to happen anyways. That's why we brought them on in the first place. So the other thing to realize, too, is that the ARC was always a part of this consideration for the redesign. So it's not like we woke up and just suddenly saw that the ARC existed. So that was, yes, you know, so I had seen that from the get-go, but I hadn't had actual administrative privileges as much to see as much as you and Eve actually saw. So I didn't realize there was a lot more to it. And neither did Eric at that point either. We didn't have the kind of credentials that actually showed us the different parts beyond just basic resources. So that's where I think some of the disconnect was at the initial onslaught there. But a lot of, you know, what we're really trying to do is focus on making sure that, you know, if it's going to be something that part of this goes into the website, that it's done properly. If it's not supposed to, then we need to figure out what that is. What does that look like? How does that actually work? Or how can we improve the environment that it's currently in to make it definitely work better for everyone involved?
This is Howard Schreier with Group 159 in Arlington, Virginia. Can you hear me?
Hey, Howard.
Yep.
Hi, Howard.
Another
I want to say in brief that I spent a lot of time with the ARC, and
okay.
I for one I couldn't get a grasp on the tools and
sure.
the relationship. I'd be very interested to see what
yeah.
we can go how we can go with that.
I just don't see how the ARC can ever be as easy as Facebook in terms of creating groups and events and
sure.
and instant gatherings as was intended in the first place. I struggled with it for 6 months and still never was able to make it easy enough to explain to somebody else.
This is Terry, and I'm not going to argue with, or I agree with what you're saying. But that's, to me, more of like the technology, not the concept, and so the design. So that's what I'm
right.
concerned about is the goals and objectives of it remain regardless of the technology used to produce
yes.
it. And so that's what I argue your concern.
Yeah, exactly.
I wasn't involved in the purchase of the tool. I'm a programmer, and I'm in information services, so I know what you're talking about, and I doubt if the right process was used. I don't know
right.
involved. But the point is, the needs to, and the requirements still exist, so I'm just trying to make
yep.
sure it's not forgotten. And thank you for confirming my instinct about, like, others seem to be like, oh, well, this isn't a more involved in maybe just producing a few templates or something, logos. So, but
yeah.
I appreciate that.
All right, great. I think I lost you on the last part there, but so to me it sounds like really what we need to focus on is those goals for the ARC, that they don't change, but the technology might change, which is understandable. And that's exactly what we're going with too. And that's the way we've been kind of thinking about this, especially in the past, I think like 3 weeks now, really. Taking it with that mindset.
Okay. So I know we're going to come
Thank
back
you.
To specific questions, and they involve the ARC, but I really wanted to make sure that Caleb got a chance to speak up about
sure.
the process that we've used so far.
Yeah. Thanks for that. My name is Caleb Horton. I'm from Massachusetts, and I am a member of the Membership Empowerment Training Program, or the MEPP. I know Hillary is too, and we were both at the orientation and the training for that, the training of trainers for that this summer. So hi, Hillary.
Hi, Caleb.
So I'm going to talk a little bit about the process of what we've done to collect feedback and suggestions for, what's sort of going wrong with the website and what are things to focus on and changing. So how we started out was sending out a website survey from October 1st to November 31st and asking participants just what they liked about the main AIUSA website and the ARC. So like you said, the ARC has been, sort of in the picture from the beginning. We also sent out email invitations to submit an entry to the survey. To our full email list, and we also had a pop-up appear from October 1st to November 1st on the AIUSA website homepage, just asking users to name something they liked or disliked about the site. We received, from the various methods, at least 600, 700 plus responses. On top of that, the online website vendor that we've been working with has done almost 50 one-on-one interviews with members, member leaders and website advisory committee members, board members, and even some prospective members, so people who haven't joined yet, to get, their idea of like what they use the AIUSA website for, and what they would like to use it for, and why can't they use it for what they want to use it now. And I had one of those interviews, and it was actually a really great experience. And the biggest groups that have given us feedback and responded, first it's been members, and then member leaders, and then in third most numerous is staff. So most of the feedback we're getting is actually from, rank and file folks, regular people who are just a part of AI. And I know Daniel has also been on some group calls with the co-group with legislative coordinators and area coordinators and a number of the members of the digital team at AIUSA have actually gone to each of the regional conferences to listen to members in person and hear about what they had to say about the website and about the ARC. So we've been getting a lot of different data from a lot of different places and using that to inform our visions about how we've changed things with the website and how we are changing things with the website. Anybody have any questions?
Caleb, we, at the pilot training of trainers, one of our groups that put on a training at the training of trainers did one, a workshop on websites available to Amnesty members, right? I can't remember if you were in that group or not.
Yeah. That was actually my group. Yeah, and
all that information that that group gathered and that's a really fantastic chart that you all put together, right?
Yeah. And so I was able to contribute that to the feedback session. So at the pilot training of trainers, for everybody else who wasn't there, basically we all had to get into these small groups and design workshops that we would, hypothetically would be done for groups or groups or local groups or area coordinator groups or student or area coordinators, things like that. And so we performed them for the rest of the folks at the conference. And they sort of acted as our local group. And my group did a sort of AI tech tool, quote unquote. And we basically just did a survey of, what the different tools that AI members had at their disposal, like what are all the different internet-based outlets for information from AI, about AI, or like hosted by AI, or AIUSA, I should say more specifically. Then we sort of talked and worked with our group that we were performing the workshop for, actually gather some data about what they were aware of, what they weren't aware of, and what worked for them and didn't work for them with the website. So that was almost sort of like at least in my mind or in my personal experience, was like a prototype getting involved with this greater website redesign committee. And I think that a lot of the responses in both the training module that my group developed and what we've gotten from members and member leaders and staff in terms of feedback about AI technology resources and the AI website has been pretty much the same, spot on. Anybody else?
Okay. So I think we can safely move on to the real part of what we want to find out tonight. And I would pass it over to Anita.
Thank you, Ed. So as Ed mentioned in the beginning of the call, my name is Anita Tika, and I'm the legislative coordinator for New York for AIUSA. So I'm based in the New Jersey, New York region, and I've been a part of the website advisory committee since about October when it started. So I'm posing three global questions to everybody on the call, and then we can take them one by one. So as an overview, three questions are, what do you like and or dislike about the current website? If you've used it, what do you like and or dislike about the ARC, the Activist Resource Community? And third, what do you think the website or ARC are missing? So those are the three overarching questions, so let's take the first one. What do you like and or dislike about the current website? So we'll open it up to everybody.
This is Hillary.
I'd say what I like is that when you hit the homepage, it's very clear from the banner that goes across the top that what the current focus of Amnesty USA is. It's three or four items scrolling in that banner, and that it's not very far to the bottom of the page where there are some links to priority campaigns. And I like that part. And what I don't like is when I try and go any deeper, I usually find that the most recent item is dated 2011. But I do like that you can get all the urgent actions fairly easily if you know where to look. It's not that hard to get a few urgent actions for your group if they're meeting in an hour or two and you're in a big hurry.
This is a quick follow-up. For the content that's out of date, do you find that it's like a particular type of content that's out of date, or is it just generally across the board, it could be anything that could be out of date?
That could be out of date? Is that what
right.
you have?
Yes.
Well, it just seemed that every time I went to look for something, I don't look very often, but
mm-hmm.
no, it just seemed that way. I haven't done an extensive survey.
Right.
Looking at the education resources the other day, because somebody asked me about that. So that was one. Although I'm glad it's there.
Okay,
And I was looking for something on Ethiopia a while back and didn't get the most up-to-date stuff, so I had to ask Adete for it.
Okay. Yeah, that's something that came up a lot, that things were not current. Is there anything else that anybody likes and or dislikes about the current website?
I mean, I said it, you know, when I first got involved with this and in my interview, but for me, it's really the main problem is with the main website, you know, you go onto this landing page, and there's just all of this content, and it's really great content, but it's organized in such a, like, mishmash way that it really sort of confuses me, or, like, my mind confuses my imagination, I guess, when it comes to, like, you know, what should I be paying attention to? I mean, there's a lot of different, you know, a lot of these different tabs, and it's almost confusing if I just want to know, like, well, I want to see what actions are going on in my area. If I can, like, get a local group, or my student group out to them, how can I find out about that? Or things like that. It's almost confusing as to, like, where do I look for that? Because there's just so many different tabs and links to other things, and even, like, sources of news and updates that I just don't really know what's going to be relevant and what's not going to be relevant. And so it's just sort of like, how do I parse the content? Because it's organized such to, it's not really organized. It is disorganized. Anyway, that's really it for me.
Anybody else?
Well, yeah, this is Cherry. I'll just follow up by saying that there's just two areas. One is like, I'm an SD pack, so I went to the death penalty page, and it was totally out of date. It had some things on the latest reports were from 2014, and I'm like, what? How did that get there? It was just not up to date, and so I basically don't go to the AIUSA website unless I absolutely have to. I usually go to the amnesty.org one. The homepage, it's nice, and what Hillary commented, I think is good, but that's very similar to the amnesty.org page. I thought that was a nice detailed copy. But the other thing is, what I find as a local group member, it's really hard for people to find where their local group is, are, or if that's up to date. I've heard that complaint from people. So it's just little things like that, like others have mentioned. It's really hard to, you know, find what they're looking for, or if they ask us looking for just simple information, it's hard to find it.
Carrie mentioned the SD packs, and it just reminded me that a month or so back, I was looking for lists of SD packs, and I think I just used Google. And two lists came up that were on the public AIUSA website, lists of people along with their email addresses and phone numbers from 2009 or something like that. So I don't know how they got there or I can't even remember now where they are. I think they're in a PDF folder somewhere, but they probably shouldn't be available to a Google search.
Oh, thank you for mentioning that, Hillary, because at times I've done a search and mistyped something and pages of the ARC appeared, orphan pages somehow. I'm not sure how there's a leak somewhere, a security leak somewhere, but anyway. Yeah, just out-of-date lists, just trying to find maybe your field organizer or a local group or a phone number, let's say, to renew your membership. I mean, that's just too cumbersome to do, you know.
Okay, and these are things that have come up several times already, especially when we're trying to have a website that in part caters to prospective or new members, and perhaps they don't want to be an activist in a vacuum. How do we connect them with other activists? And there's not a tool on the website that makes that an easy process. So that's something to think about. And for experienced activists, if they want to join local groups or other types of groups, there's not a way for them to do that with the current website. So let's go on to question two. For those of you who have used the ARC, what do you like or dislike about it?
Well, I use the ARC primarily for governance things, looking for AGM decisions and reports and board information, and it works very well for me for that. And that course is helped by the fact that the manager of that section is very accessible, Michelle. So if something was very helpful to find it. The rest of the ARC I find really frustrating just because of the lack of navigation. It's just impossible to ever know where you are. Although the search engine is very efficient, actually, I find. It's much easier to find something using the search engine than to try and navigate to it. And long-standing concern to me is the section that's called member-created items, just because it suggests that everything else is staff-created and that the members are kind of an afterthought. And it never gets cleared. It just continues to accumulate stuff because it's the only place a member can upload anything.
Do you have an opinion on whether the search function in the ARC, within the ARC, is better than the search function for the general AIUSA website?
The search function?
Yeah, within ARC, is that easier to use than...
I actually think it works better, yes. Yeah, it's
okay.
Very useful. Yeah.
Okay. Any other opinions on what people like and dislike about the ARC?
Well, this is Sherry. I'm gonna listen because some of the things I already said it on the when I answered the survey, online survey, and the issue of navigability, lack of member resources if they want an action or a template or find the name of their field organizer or just things like that are aspirations of the ARC and they continue to be, and so I don't want to duplicate something I already said elsewhere.
Sure.
And I support the ARC.
So you're in favor of keeping the ARC?
Pardon?
You're in favor of keeping the ARC.
The concept, yes. That's what my point is that the vision, okay. And it's a member center that cannot, it's not a replacement for the website, the AIUSA.org. It's something unique for people who paid money to be members, and that committed members are interested, would want. For their activism and campaigns.
It's a two-part question here. There's keep the ARC and keep the socialist platform. They're separate issues.
Yeah.
Yes. I that's exactly, that's my thought.
Okay. Any other opinions on what people like and dislike about the ARC?
This is Cherry. What I'd be interested in is people can, like we talk about what our goals and objectives, what we like to see. I'd like to hear what people would like to see that, in right now in the ARC or whatever, that they don't, that this gaping hole or something that is...
I'd like to see the full list of case commitments. And the ability to get in touch with the case managers for each of those case commitments.
I would too. I would like a commitment. This is Cherry. I'd like a commitment from the individuals, the various programs, to have their member leaders support it. We haven't talked, but there was a. They were involved in the original design of maybe having the country specialists, the various co-groups, and the individuals at risk program have what's on the ARC, what Hillary was talking about, but they declined or decided it was too much work or they weren't committed, and that really created, that took a lot of the heart out of what our a vision. So if you're going to think in terms of fulfilling the goals and objectives, I think that it, as staff, Dan, you might say that's the ARC, maintaining the ARC or that resource is really part of their mandate also, helping, providing stuff for members or providing a way for member leaders to have access to what they provide rather than having to call them or email them.
Yeah. Sure. And actually, I hadn't looked at this for a long time, but something's got to be done about the member directory.
Can you be more specific?
Yes. The first item on the list of roles is member leader, board member, and the only item that comes up on that search is named socius support.
Okay. Yeah, that goes into the search thing, and then we realize that's a weakness, and somehow it was it tied to what the role that somebody might have with Roy, and how it was updated, so that we know is a problem. I should be able to put in, like Hillary said, put in something and find a result when I know that the person's there or the function's there.
Yep.
So just kind of, we've already been covering essentially the third question of what do you think the website or the ARC are missing, and we've been sharing opinions as to that. So is there anything else besides what's been discussed already that you think the website or the ARC are missing?
Well, this is Ed. I would actually chime in with this because, I've had a long experience, dealing with pieces on the website that have to do with fundraising. And there's always a place to donate, but if people want to renew their membership so they don't get multiple memberships, or if they want to donate monthly, it's really tricky to find these things. It's sort of buried. And then, if you wanted to, give a gift membership or, a tribute gift, try to find that, and it's just that's posed some difficulty in the past.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I asked you about that, Ed. We used to get a lot of ARC calls, but how do I do this? And I couldn't figure out how to do it, so I'd have to contact you. And you said, oh, yeah. And then it was not exactly intuitive.
I tried
there,
my best, and also, the people who, for example, want to stop their monthly pledge, and so they go into the ARC thinking, well, this is like the special area where, I can do these things. If I enter this, that's the sort of deeper part of it. So in that sense, it's confusing to people.
Which, just to point out, this is Dan, that is one of the things we kept hearing kind of over and over again from the pop-up that was on the homepage, that folks wanted to update their donation information, but they weren't sure where to do that.
Right. Yeah. We got our we got support call, ARC support calls on that too. So that was confusing, and yeah.
This is, yeah, I think it might be nice to have some sort of local and student group and member leader self-reporting of their achievements and notable things that their group has done. I know with respect to the LCs, we do that all the time in our own listserv. You know, if one LC, for example, our Vermont LC and our Virginia LC, they both have passed resolutions for refugees in the respective cities and hometowns, and so that motivates the rest of us to do the same in our respective cities. And if local groups in California know what local groups from, like, Michigan are doing, we can all, it can foster this national sense of camaraderie and solidarity, especially in these times of feeling, maybe people are feeling burnt out and people are feeling like maybe they're the only ones working on a specific case. And so, as Hillary was saying, if people can report out their case commitments, you know, if a group in, like, say, Oakland is working on a specific prisoner of conscience and they see that, oh, there's a group in Florida doing it, maybe they can work together and compare how many letters they're writing and who they're sending them to. So I think, like, the self-reporting achievements and accomplishments might be just really nice on a national level to foster collaboration.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah,
that's really, really interesting.
Yeah, we shouldn't have to find out about others having the same case by making a phone call. I mean, I know my Portland group finds that out when we have a dossier, but we shouldn't really have to, you know, it should be like part of the, it should be more public. Others should know it.
Well, this is Ed again. I'm sorry, I have another comment. I was thinking, too, because a lot has been mentioned about the membership, you know, or pages, like, or group pages, I'm sorry. So how to find groups, how to find a local group. We know that that doesn't work very well. I mean, that's established. How to register your group. But I remember at one point trying to find, there is a page where a group can pay their group assessment, and darn if I could find it. You know, it's in there somewhere. You know, I know it's there, and people showed me the page. It's a mystery. But, I mean, things like that where I think maybe things have been built on other things and not thought through, you know, but a lot of the group pages, since it does affect so many of our local and student groups, that, you know, that's something I would recommend looking at.
Well, and sometimes, this is true, sometimes it's like, well, if you scroll down, way down, well, people don't like scrolling down, you know. To go down three pages, scroll down, they'll find it, but, you know, because sometimes I bump into things and then I go try to go back and I can't find them.
Okay, do we have any other comments? Howard, do you want to say anything?
I've done mine. Thank you.
Oh, all right. Hillary, Terry, any more comments?
No.
Yeah, not particularly. I think everybody's really covered most of the things that I've talked or that I've thought about the ARC. I'm not the most extensive user of the ARC anyway.
But what is the status of the synchronization between the ARC member directory and ROI? Is it possible? Is it in the works? Is it just being abandoned? What's the situation?
So we're actually, this is Dan, I can answer that. So we're going to be sidestepping that a little bit. So the integration doesn't have to happen the way it works. So a lot of what we're doing with the new website actually interacts with what's called Engaging Networks. Which is what we use for our email blasts, things like that, donations, all that. So ROI really will just be an internal thing that really staff are handling for the most part. But everything else is going through Engaging Networks, and that's where a lot of this stuff lives for us as far as the database goes. The short answer is that a lot of these things will be hooked up through there, through the website, in a seamless fashion. And we've already tested this out on a smaller scale, and we know this stuff works, so that's what's very exciting about it. So all those issues with syncing with ROI and trying to get ROI to show you things, that's not going to be something we'll have to be worrying about in the future.
And the other one thing I do want to hope goes away is sometimes Roy updates, somehow there are updates for people's existing profiles and we have no idea what happened, like emails that don't even belong to the person on the ARC, just things like that.
Sure.
Just some, there's a leak somewhere in this, in the system somewhere, something's happening. Yeah. Hope that goes away.
I think what causes that is that they do sort of a national revision. I forget what it's called, but it goes through membership and sort of has a national update list. And sometimes it will update people to the wrong address.
Right.
And that's something that happens in development, but I think that may be the reason of the cause.
I've heard about that at my group meeting the other night. People were talking about, let's call them anomalies with the addresses.
Well, just, yeah, Dan, you have to, things like that, somebody's account shouldn't be updated with somebody else's information. But anyway, but that's, I'm sure.
Oh, no, I said. Yeah, exactly.
Things are bandaged together, you know, without, they weren't part of the original design, maybe. So.
Yep. And, you know, what we're really trying to focus on, and this comes just back from just even computer science best practices, is, you know, when we have a user that needs to do something as a goal, really the current way we're doing it is we're setting them to like three different or four different types of systems. When in reality, they should only be going to one. And that's exactly what we're moving towards, is making sure that, you know, we might still be using four different systems internally with as staff, but for the end user, for members at large, that should not be something that really gets in the way of them being successful in what they need to accomplish when they get to the site. So that's the focus right now, is really how do we streamline those things? How do we remove those barriers and remove those kinks, basically, that are happening in the chain, so that people can get to what they need to?
I can support that.
Yep.
Thanks.
And no problem there.
Okay. So any final questions? Yeah. Okay, Dan, do you want to talk about our process going forward?
Yeah. So we're planning to actually launch the website right around the corner. So it's March 2017. This was a bold ambition for a few reasons. One was because AGM is coming up, and we wanted it to kind of be around the same time period, basically, so we could show people and get feedback around then. But also, two, we didn't want this to be something that dragged out for, you know, a year-long redesign. That's just going to hamper the whole process and just make it even more difficult to actually accomplish something monumental like this. So March 2017 is our launch date. We're not sure when in there. It's going to be most likely like probably the week after AGM or somewhere in there. And the great news is we're running on schedule. So everything's actually going along schedule. And our vendor has been really kind of phenomenal in kind of leading that charge, making sure that we are sticking to the calendar we originally put together. This month we're working on the sitemap, so which basically tells us kind of the hierarchy of everything that's on the website, and that's why we're going to have, you know, a larger conversation about the ARC too and how that comes into play. And then we're also working on the wireframes this month as well, and that's really showing us, the wireframe basically shows us where everything is kind of laid out on the website. We're not really worried about fonts or worried about colors or imagery or anything like that. We're more focusing on basically, you know, where's this content going on a page, how the user is going to interact with that, and how they actually might share that too. What pieces might be good shareable content, basically, that folks would want to email out or to share on, you know, social media or something, or you might want to print out to take to a group meeting or something like that. So that's really the focus for this month. And then January, we get right into the what's called the user interface. If you talk to me at another time, you might hear me call it the UI. So the user interface, the UI is basically the look and feel of the website, and so that is the the typography we use, the colors we use, the imagery we use. And we are, you know, we are bound a little bit to the branding book from the IS. So there's a great branding book they put together, which tells us how to use the logo, how to use specific colors, things like that. But we also have a little bit of leeway in kind of how we lay out our website with the imagery. So that's what we'll be playing around with a little bit, is what does that look like. And then by February, we're actually building the front end to a lot of this stuff. By the end of February, we're really in kind of a beta mode, so we're just testing out pieces to the website at that point in time. On the development side, so you know, so as far as coding goes, we're actually starting coding next week. Most of the coding is being done internally. It's myself, and it's also a junior web developer that we've brought on staff specifically to help with this for the next year. We're going ahead and actually building out the website in WordPress, like I said. And the great thing about that is that we can streamline this. So instead of needing, you know, a team of 10 developers or something, really it comes down to one or two people to actually put this code together that's built in the most efficient way possible, which is terrific, which, you know, saves us money, allows us to do this quicker. So it actually becomes a really great way to be able to develop this. And then when we get to March, we'll be doing a lot of like QA testing and things like that. And most likely we'll have like kind of like a little beta period where, I'd love to invite, you know, the folks who have been on this call here. And we'll probably invite a few other folks just randomly across the organization to kind of, you know, play with the website here and there and give us a little bit of feedback. One thing I wanted to note was after the website launches, this is a big important thing that I really want everyone to realize, is that after the website launches, it's not, you know, we set it and forget it. That's not the goal of what we're doing. Really, we're creating the baseline. So we're creating the new redesign of what this is going to look like. We're putting in the new content of whatever that's going to be. And then we look at, okay, so how do we evolve this over time? So what, you know, new features may we need over time? What things do we think are working well, you know, that we could kind of beef up on the website? What things do we think aren't working that we could, you know, alter and improve later on? So this isn't something like you've seen before in the past, like, you know, you do redesign and you just kind of put it out there and walk away. The reality is that we'll be making slight updates and improvements to this website every few weeks. And it's not something where these are drastic changes that would end up happening at all. This is more so to make the experience even better, just continually. Just like you might download apps for your phone and you notice that they get better with time, same type of thing would happen here with the website. So.
Excuse me, Dan. I want to follow up, though. Since the ARC is, I think, a relatively new, you're just realizing how what's involved, would it be any version or what would be considered Member Center be part of a website 2.1 or the main roll-up in March?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're still trying to determine. I mean, literally, so that's
okay,
what we're...
Okay, that's yeah. What I wanted
yep.
to hear. I figured
yep,
that.
That's
would,
what we're, yeah.
I figured it'd be not the main phase, it'd be later on, because it just couldn't be if you guys intend on doing it right. I mean, March
right.
is just around the corner if you want to talk about systems, so.
Right, and that's what, you know, that's that larger conversation is figuring out, you know, what do we think possibly could be done for March? What do we think is going to have to go over time? You know, to really determine this as a group, not as, you know, just a few people saying what the art should be. So I'm very, very interested and kind of excited to have that conversation with you to figure out that next step for that. Yeah.
We kind of like to do it right.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I think we may have run out of time. I do want to thank our informed speakers today, Dan Schutz-Smith, Anita Tika, and Caleb Horton. We really appreciate your taking the time to share your knowledge with us all and for being on the advisory committee to help us improve the website. And thanks to you who have called in tonight, Terry, Hillary, Howard. We really appreciate it, and we appreciate your interest in this, helping us out in this subject. So thanks for your questions and your comments. Now, we had a cozy group tonight, so this will be shared out, of course, I know a lot of people could not make this call because there were conflicting calls tonight. So just remember that all the monthly calls are recorded and will be listed in the Activist Resource Community, ARC, on our website under Tools and Organizing Tools. So thank you for the call. I wish everyone a really wonderful New Year and a great holiday, and join us again in January.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Good night, everyone.
Have a good night. Nice to talk to you all.
Thank you.